The following may contain language that is not suitable for all audiences. For the Low Fact Podcast.
Hello. Huzzah!
Hello, everyone. Thank you for,
I don't know what it is. They're not really tuning in. I mean,
they're tuning in.
Thank you for listening.
Right.
I feel like Fraser Crane.
Thank you for joining us in our little community of Low Fact Podcast.
And, you know, for listening in, no matter what the reason is, whether or not you want, whether it is to fall asleep or because you're just so mind-numbingly bored that you want to listen to somebody else?
Yeah, just put it on us on in the background, baby.
So, okay. What's your thought of the week?
My thought of the week is, why do Hollywood movies always portray Hollywood as a revolutionary when, in fact, Hollywood is the...
Reactionary?
No, well, Hollywood is the...
Empire?
They're the empire. They're the institution. They're the... insiders, not the revolutionaries.
Well, they're the tools of the insiders.
Mm. But everyone in Hollywood is like, oh, where are the revolutionaries? We're the guys that are bucking the big guys.
I've never seen any fat cat revolutionaries.
They only become fat cats after they take over, right?
Then they're not revolutionaries.
Well, they are when they're doing their thing.
When they're doing their thing, they should never be able to take over.
Why? Oh, you mean without help?
No, I mean...
What the hell are you talking about?
I don't think that a revolutionary should ever become the administrator.
But they do.
No, not always.
The revolutionaries become what they're revolutionizing. What they're railing against, they become that.
Right. They become what they become. They just replace the people that they thought think are evil or whatever.
Right.
Doing shit wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to be a true revolutionary, you should never.
But like a lot of the Hollywood movies, like the dystopian ones.
You should, if you succeed in your revolution, then you should just like, now, okay, I'm done.
And what, hand over the reins to somebody?
Which would make being a revolutionary pretty pointless.
So you're going to do all this, and then you're going to hand it over to somebody.
Well, yeah, but you could also be the boogeyman, right? You fuck this up, me and my ilk are going to come back and get rid of you, just like we got rid of the last guy.
That actually sounds pretty cool, but no one does that.
Well, that's because my thought of the week of the, if the love of money is the root of all evil, then us living in a society is basically us playing with evil, tempting evil. We're essentially like the toddler with a loaded handgun. Society is all about money. Getting it. Well, period, right? So the higher up you are in the society, the more the mover, the shaker, the player, the whatever, the more it becomes about money. The love of it.
So what's the alternative then?
Well, the alternative is pretty distasteful for most of us.
Small communities?
No, the alternative is pretty distasteful for her. Well, distasteful for me.
Are you talking about death?
No, just kind of living out like a frickin' wild animal. Foraging for food all day and then sleeping.
No. I can't do that.
Well, none of us can, really. But that's the funny thing. You know, you hear some people talking. I hear people talking. And I'm going to move on to like... The self-righteous.
Excuse me, hold on for 1 second before you finish your thought. As usual.
Matt is going through...
having my allergic reaction to podcasts.
It's very much like the very old Saturday Night Live skit where Conan O'Brien was hosting. And his skit was the thing about the old-timey boxers where he was just this big, white, dopey, non-athletic dude. And he essentially just beat everybody, all of his opponents, because he was so much bigger and... stronger than they were.
Mm-hmm.
And then they integrated and let the black guys box. And he started getting beat a lot. And then after a while, when the bell rang, he'd just start bleeding spontaneously. And I think that's the way you are with your allergies.
Conan was never on Saturday Night Live, was he?
I think he wrote for them.
Oh, but he was never...
No, I don't think he was ever a cast guy.
Oh, he did. He was a writer? That makes sense.
But all the writers do their skits.
Yeah, that's usually.
I have no idea what the hell.
We'll have to ask him when we see him next week.
Okay, yeah. So I was talking about the self-righteous. This is what I had. I don't know, man. I don't know that there's really a place for a person like me in society, because no matter what everyone else does, I just want to do the exact opposite. And so,
we need some like little violins to be playing behind behind where you're saying all this.
And so, because I'll just never get ahead. I mean, person like me is going to be very hard.
Yeah. I don't know what it is, though. Like, I don't know why it is. Because I get on just fine with you, and I think you're pretty agreeable, mostly, most people.
That's the thing,
so
right?
So I don't understand, but then I've also seen the other side of things. I've seen people having certain people that have that reaction to you, and you're not doing anything. That's the weird part about it. Like, it's just, you just have to be there.
Well, I love persons, but
like,
I hate
you're like
people.
Dads with toddlers, right? You just have to be there, and you're going to piss somebody off.
That's the thing. I love persons, but I hate people. That's the only thing I can say. So anyway, what I was going to say about the self-righteous folks, I dislike them too in general. But I know a lot of people that are self-righteous, and I consider them friends, I suppose.
Yeah. I'm pretty self-righteous.
Well, except when they aim their self-righteousness at me, and at that point I'm just like, no. We ain't playing that.
That's one of the reasons why I like you as a friend.
Why?
You don't put up with my self-righteous bullshit. You're just like, no.
Well, most everybody else wants it the other way. My brain is, it's like a fire hose of information wanting to get out, and I can't put it in the right order to make it sound fun and entertaining.
Dave is like carbo and sugar loaded today, so he's probably an overdose, right?
Yeah, I try to stay away from carbs.
I tried to all week, and then I just totally blew it yesterday and today.
But sometimes you can't help it, because, you know, when you... I'm trying a new weightlifting regimen, and I'm always sore.
Yeah, you're just always like, ugh.
And when I eat, I'm no longer sore.
And for you young people listening, just wait.
Yeah.
Like, you're like, okay, you think, like, when you're 20 or 30 that there's... shit that's hard, wait till you're 50.
You mean physically hard, or just...
Everything.
Yeah.
Everything.
Life's waiting
and for you. And no one tells you. No one is like, this is what the shit that's coming.
Life is coming for you.
So you better toughen up.
What else was I going to say? Oh, man. I was listening to... I was watching this Korean TV show the other day, and the intro to it sounded like the beginning of that Rita Ora song, How to Be Lonely.
That song is not ringing any bells in my brain.
Well, it hit a weird thing, and so...
Excuse me.
It was not that song, but the intro sounded very much like the intro to that song.
Okay.
And I could kind of hear the beginning of it, but I couldn't... I was getting the lyrics wrong. So I kept on trying to type it in, and it was not working. And after about an hour and a half... I finally found it, and it was, you know.
You looked for an hour and a half?
I thought about it for an hour and a half.
Oh, okay.
And I tried to get my memory back by listening to other songs.
Right.
Thinking that might kind of take me down the path.
Uh-huh.
And all it did was make me put those songs, it juxtaposed those songs to the one song that I was trying to figure out.
Right.
And it was actually kind of comical, because I was just sitting there going, it was like a weird mashup going in my head.
So what's the Rita Ora song called?
Like How to Be Lonely. But not the Rita Ora version, the version with that Aussie chick that was on there's an Aussie contestant.
Iggy Azalea?
Huh?
Iggy Azalea?
No, she was a contestant on The Voice.
Oh, okay.
And I liked her very much.
And she sang the Rita Ora song?
Yes. And okay. as I was watching it, I was thinking about, like, I mean, that's the joke between you and me about how much I hate Australians and New Zealanders, and I don't. It's just the accents kind of hits my ear in a weird way.
So can you imagine having an Australian or a New Zealand girlfriend?
Yeah, sure. So but that accent would kind of...
Would you disengage the mechanism and just tune them out then?
No, I think after a while the accent wouldn't bother me as much, but I don't know why that accent bothers me so much.
I find the Australian accent, like the full-on Ocker accent, kind of annoying.
I guess I've never heard the full-on one.
It's like, gives you 4X when you spin out in the outback, mate. It's like that.
They sound like rabid parrot peacocks.
I think that's probably a little bit exaggerated. But
just a tad?
Yeah.
A skosh, maybe?
But it's like, it's very harsh and twangy.
You've just offended the one person from Australia that probably listens to us.
That's okay. They're going to give just as much as I just gave them, Australians.
And well, that got me thinking about your one friend who I think is really cute and hot. She doesn't know I exist, and I don't think you've ever told her, right?
No, not yet, because I didn't want to creep her out.
Well, don't tell her. I mean, or do tell. I don't care.
Well, if she's listening, she might figure it out now.
She ain't listening, dude. She's not that good of a friend.
Yeah. I don't think my friends listen to the podcast, and if they do, it just freaks me out to think that they listen.
Why? Because they're very disappointed?
I don't know. I just don't. It never gets raised, so I'm like, I don't know if anybody listens, but if they do, I'm just kind of like, they've never said anything about it. So
it's
like
the elephant in the room. They don't
do they think it sucks, or do they just not like what I'm saying?
That
or
too.
It could be like all the above, right?
It's like that story about the dude that was working at a big badass law firm in New York that I heard. Did I tell you that story?
Was this the guy that was like doing all the substances?
Well, he was a heroin junkie.
Yeah.
And
was he injecting or was he just smoking it?
Either way, he's pretty nasty, but he
I think injecting is like a whole other level, like smoking heroin.
But supposedly the story goes, I heard this from a buddy of mine. This guy was working at a big law firm in New York, and you know, he was putting in pretty grueling hours. And so to kind of wind down real quick, he just started doing a little bit of heroin. And he even got to a point where he got deliveries, like his dealer would come and like deliver it to him in his office.
Holy right? crap.
But the whole time, like
this in the 80s?
No. This was when we were in our young adulthood.
Holy shit.
And so this guy thought he was keeping it under wraps. Really wow, well. Yeah.
People that the drug users always do.
And so apparently after about a year or so, one day the partnership committee came into his office and said, you're going into rehab. you know, you're not fired because apparently he still did really good work.
So he was like billing for Africa?
He was billing like a nutcase.
Yep.
But he was getting paler and thinner. And it got to the point where it was so noticeable that the partners couldn't ignore it anymore.
I love how they tried they ignored it for a year.
Well, they ignored it, dude. Law firms, it's really kind of funny. People wonder how so many attorneys apparently get hooked on drugs and alcohol.
Yeah,
they don't care as long as you're bringing in the money,
dude. We did. I just think about when I was a junior attorney, we did so much drinking.
Oh, I thought you were about to say you did so much heroin.
No, just drinking. But there was one time with this Russian vodka that this immigration client gave me. And I think he was a pretty dodgy guy. Like I got thrown out of the U.S. Embassy in New Zealand because of this guy.
That's funny.
By a big Marine.
That's
funny. I was trying to get all vociferous the right word?
You're putting on a little fit, like trying to...
Yeah, with the woman behind the counter. And she just looks up and then it's like this, like... This is my first, like, engagement for my first experience with a Marine. Poof! Just, like, fucking ejected me. I was like, oh.
Was he polite at least?
Yeah. Well, he didn't really say anything. He just grabbed me and threw me out.
He just picked you up, and next thing you know, it was like a scene from a movie.
Dude, it's like, I've never been moved so fast. It's just like, he didn't pick me up, but...
You don't want to tell the truth. He was a little short guy, wouldn't you?
I don't remember, man. I just remember being freaked out. But anyway, this vodka that the client gave me led to a whole lot of problems because it was like super, super strong. And the partner's lounge got trashed and they changed the policy. They changed the work drinks policy basically because of me and the vodka.
Well, that shows how overachieving you are.
Yeah, when it comes to
well, no, in whatever
excesses when of they, alcohol.
If someone has to change the rules because of you, that means that you're taking it to a whole nother level. like in the 80s.
But I wasn't the one doing this shit. It was just the people that drank, like, you know, like, false accusations. Like,
well, you got the credit.
I just put the alcohol to the drinks.
You got the credit.
You know?
It's like the Russian line in the Detroit Red Wings in the 80s. It was, I think it was Steve Yzerman, Sergei Fedorov, and another guy.
Okay.
And these guys were like, they figured out.
They were unstoppable.
They were, especially on 3-on-3
hockey. Like the T-Rex with them.
They were, yeah, it was like a T-Rex with hand extenders.
Yeah, right.
And so what the Red Wings used to do, because these guys were so good that nobody could touch him 3-on-3 hockey. So they would draw and make penalties to where it was 3-on-3. And then that line would go on there. Yzerman, Fedorov, and this other guy. And they would just score. And they were so dominating that I think the NHL changed the rules to where you couldn't have 3-on-3 hockey anymore.
I don't know what I think about the rule change, though.
Well, I think it's dumb.
You know, I'm like, okay, so get bitter.
Exactly. That's the funny thing about the people that harp on, it's all about your talents. You know, you will go as far as your abilities and your talents will take you.
Right.
Up until they take you so far that everybody else is like, no, nah, that's not fair.
Well, that's like, it's like Asian kids in Ivy League, right?
Well, it's not like the Asian kids are much, I don't think that they're much smarter than everybody else.
But they're like, oh, we're going to have these other factors.
They just
like
beyond the
straight academic, we're going to have these other fuzzy factors.
They just have like domineering moms that.
Right. Dude, when I went to university, my mother was like, don't smoke too much weed and make sure you wear a condom when you have sex. I'm like, really, Mom? Like, that's the full extent of your advice for me at university?
I forget what
it wasn't like work hard, get good grades, like none of that.
Well, all throughout my life, it was always you have to be twice as good as everybody.
I never had that talk.
Well, you were in a very small minority.
I guess I didn't have to be twice as good as everybody.
Well, if you grew up in Japan, maybe.
Yeah.
But
Japanese are so racist, by the way.
Well, everybody's racist. Who cares?
I'd never experienced that before.
I've experienced racism. I don't really think it was that bad.
I was
bad.
Like, they think white people are stupid.
Well, yeah, but who got their asses kicked in the Second World War? So what's worse, a la Train Spotting, right? Right, it's even, I forget the whole line, but the Train Spotting thing is like, not only the English wankers, but we got colonized by those wankers.
Right,
so,
yeah.
So what does that make us?
Yeah. Fucktards.
So, you know, okay. You know, you got, now, admittedly, Second World War was a war that Japan would never be able to win because they just don't have the resources.
Plus there was
the... Or the people.
Plus there was the atom bomb.
Well, that was at the end.
I felt like they would have won anyway. I mean, they would have lost anyway. Like,
well, they would have.
They just wanted to use the bomb, right?
Well, yeah.
It's kind of fucked up, dude.
But the justification was if we don't use the bomb, then so many more people on both sides are going to die.
But they didn't drop the bomb on Europe.
Well, by then, Europe was already lost.
Yeah, but I don't think they would have dropped a bomb on Europe.
Probably not.
You know? I mean, I think they only did it because it was the Japanese.
Sure.
So that's kind of fucked up, too.
Yeah, but that's the way of the world, and I don't know that those things are ever going to change or... And as I sit here right now, I don't know that they should. This whole idea of the kumbaya, everybody holding hands, utopia type thing, that's bullshit.
I kind of like that idea, though.
It's a fanciful idea that's really destructive.
How's it destructive?
I think it's destructive because...
It's naive?
Well, we as a species are not equipped... To do that.
To get on with each other?
Not in the societal way that has been set up over several hundred millennia.
This is true.
Everything's...
Yeah, history doesn't support that.
Every society is based on you preferring a certain group, whether it be your family. I mean, if you extend out your family to your country as opposed to other countries. Or in Africa, it's like either your family, your tribe... to the exclusion of all other tribes. You know, the whole idea of we're going to help each other out against all those fuckers over there.
Right.
Good idea. Worked for a long time. Now they want to change it to where, like the whole idea of communism, which I think is super stupid, is that, you know, there's going to be nobody in charge. There's going to be no one that you prefer over somebody else. Everybody's going to be able to do their thing and everybody's going to be happy. I'm like, how? No matter what, there's always going to be someone that wants to cheat a little bit because they do. Or that wants to hurt other people because they do. And to sit there and say, this is the thing that I hate. It's like, oh,
you know. Are you talking about equality now? No.
I'm talking about preferences.
Okay.
Right? The whole, in the Communist Manifesto, there's that whole idea about the end stage is where everybody is just like, there are no countries.
Yeah.
No one's better than anybody else.
It's like this utopian place, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, you know, I hear that shit and I'm just like, that sounds terrible. Like
it's also a fairy tale.
That too. But, you know, that goes against several thousand years of us existing.
Yeah.
Right? The whole point was to be in a little group. And that little group helped each other. And so it was easy to live in that group. And the group gets bigger and the group gets bigger. Then you find another group. Well, you gotta subjugate that other group. And, you know, the story goes on.
Yeah.
I'm paraphrasing, but...
Well, that's kind of what goes on, though. What has gone on.
So this whole idea that, you know, there's going to be a point where, like the whole illegal immigration thing, you know, there's all these people talking about how it's bad. And I agree. I don't think it's particularly good for anybody except for the people making money off of it.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's really strange. If it's correct, you know, the state of California has spent untold billions of dollars on homelessness, and it's only gotten worse.
40 billion?
Whatever it is. And it's only gotten worse. So I'm sitting there going, okay, how can you spend all this money at something and it only gets worse?
See, the thing is, because they were talking about, you know, the nonprofits yesterday, and then, of course, whether it's left or right side of the aisle or left or right leaning show or media or radio show or whatever, they always paint everything with one brush. So the people on the right say all the nonprofits are, you know, just in it for the money. And I'm like, I don't believe that. Like, I think a lot of the nonprofits probably are, but there's probably nonprofit groups out there that are also doing good work. So then the question becomes, you know, what do you do?
Well, I think
how do you figure out, like, which groups and which people are just on the take, right, and taking the money versus the ones that are for real?
Well, I think the answer to both those questions is all of them. Yeah, I think all of them are populated with people that sincerely want to address and potentially solve the issue.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's the thing of, okay, so when the issue gets solved, what happens to you and your income stream?
Yeah. So you think that that's a subconscious or a conscious consideration?
I think it depends on where you sit on the hierarchy.
Profit, right?
I think that's where you, depending on where you sit on the hierarchy.
Yeah. So if you're a minion, you're probably like trying to solve it. Or if you're the guy that owns the nonprofit, then
well,
you're
can't
like,
own one.
What's that?
You can't own a nonprofit.
Well, I mean, if you're the guy who's at the top.
Okay.
Has got a lot to lose, then I guess you wouldn't want to solve the issue.
I mean, think about the weight stuff. You know, obesity is a big issue here in America. Ever since I was conscious, really, right? You know, even starting in the 80s when I was a young kid.
Yeah.
Exercise, gyms, weight loss stuff. That was all. That's big.
Yeah.
It's only gotten worse. And that business has only gotten bigger.
Yeah.
So, and that happens with everything, which is the sad state of affairs. And that's part of the reason why I don't like, well, my dislike of people is because of that. And it doesn't, you can name any entity or organization, and it's true. And then as a part of that entity or organization, you have to start rationalizing stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm not like that. The people I know aren't like that. We're just trying to do this. We're just trying to do our thing, you know, and go to this goal and whatever. Fill in the blank with whatever excuse or statement you want to have. But the end goal is, the whole point of that entity or organization is to keep going.
Yeah.
And they will do anything. The people in it will do anything to keep that spigot flowing.
But how did they let it get... It's the whole chicken or the egg thing. Like, I remember under Barack Obama, right? When Barack Obama was president, there was never a homeless person to be seen. Like, then, lo and behold, Trump becomes president, and then...
There's an explosion, like, right?
It proliferated. There was a proliferation of the homeless. And then that has only continued under Joe Biden. Like, it keeps getting worse and worse. And I'm just... That's the part where that has me just scratching my head, because it's so harmful.
Well, it's the people that are playing with and trying to play with the strings and the levers of everything. They will use whatever is available to keep and get more of whatever it is they want.
And these people...
And hey, mind you, these people are just like anybody.
These people don't want homeless in their neighborhood.
Well, they don't have to. They don't care. It doesn't touch them.
Yeah.
If that's the issue.
Yeah.
If scarcity of resources, that's not an issue for them. It's an issue for everybody else.
Right.
So their whole thing is, you guys need to deal with the scarcity of resources. I'm going to consume all I want. Now, if anybody thinks that they're going to be different in that position, I got news for you. Let me tell you something, brother. You're fucking wrong.
Everybody, right, Mr.
Anybody can be Mr. Francis of Assisi when you got nothing. You try to be Francis of Assisi in the office of the President of the United States, or as the Pope,
yeah,
or as the Dalai Lama, or as some CEO of some company, or as anything.
But wouldn't you be impressed if somebody was like that?
I would, because, well, I wouldn't believe it, right? It's just one of those things, like, I can't believe it. It would be inconceivable. I would just be in shock.
It's got to be hard.
I think it's so hard it's impossible.
Yeah, it's got to be hard.
Okay, you think this it can be done, which is, you know, kudos to you.
Only because I would like to strive for that.
Well, why can't you strive for that even if you can't? And that's like the difference between you and me.
That's the difference from NASA psychology is right there.
You know. I will do something that I know is what you would call pointless.
Yeah.
Because it's worthwhile to try it.
Or you'll sit there and spend like days and days trying to ensure and confirm that your computer has no malware. And I'm like, ugh, who fuck? Whereas I'm like, after a few hours, I'd just be like, I don't fucking care at this point.
Or you'd buy a new one. I was talking to a buddy of mine.
Buying your computer. Yeah.
I was telling the story, and he was not helping my assuage my fears, because I'd tell him all this stuff and I was like, I think I got it all done, and he was like, yeah, fingers crossed. I'm like, the fuck, dude? What do you mean fingers crossed? You're like, no, man, you did it.
Well, that's what I said to you.
I said,
I'm sure you got it.
Well, yeah. And then my other buddy was like, oh, fingers crossed. I'm like, what the hell, man? This is not helpful.
Yeah.
Because I just got this computer a couple of years ago. I don't want to buy a new one.
No. Not for something like malware.
Well,
the funny thing about you, though, is you don't really do anything. Like, anybody that had malware on your computer, that'd be like...
This is the most boring individual in the world.
Like, he doesn't do any transactions where I can steal data. He doesn't have any passwords on his computer, and he just seems to do things like play Mahjong and
watch Korean videos
and watch random shit on YouTube. I mean, like, that's not exactly hitting the jackpot if you're the malware guy, you know?
Maybe that's another reason why I'm not going to get anywhere in society.
And I know I'm not painting a very, what's the word?
Rosy?
Not rosy. I'm not painting a very exciting picture.
Flattering picture,
yeah.
But it is realistic.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Well, it's not like I'm that interesting.
Well, you do a lot more interesting stuff. Well, I'm not gonna. I'm not gonna go off on
my
your
fucking nose is running.
I really didn't need to see that drip.
Yeah, you guys are lucky there's no cameras.
Well, we better end this before you just start turning into Niagara Falls over here.
Yeah. So we covered a lot of different shit today.
We did. Thank you for continuing on to this point. And if you have, you get a cookie. Tell more people to try it, especially insomniacs. I bet you we can put them to sleep within 15 minutes.
Ninga, 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 ninga.
That was weird.
That's my sleeping noise.
You sound like Curly.
You know.
Ninga, 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 ninga. You sound like Curly from Three Stooges or like a racist dude.
No, that's like a snoozing noise.
Yeah,
dumbass.
Like Curly from the Three Stooges.
Yeah, exactly.
Me, 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 me.
That's it. All right, we'll see you next week.
Bye.
I mean, we'll talk to you next week. Bye.
They know what you mean.